join me in prayer together? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find rest in you. Bless us, O Lord, for we seek you in this hour, in spirit and in truth. Touch our souls with your spirit and show us the truth. Amen. Let us stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Once again, let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Here we are again, O Lord, during our time of worship for a season of prayer. We give you thanks for your magnificent glory, for your creation itself, for the joy of four seasons of the year, and the challenges that each season brings upon us. We're grateful for the change of seasons, for in spite of our attitude of wanting to control everything around us, the weather is one thing that we cannot control. It is something we respond to. So here we are in the middle of winter, and things are changing quickly outside, moving from a time of 60-degree weather to much colder. We can't do a thing about it except talk about it. So even as we talk about the weather, let us recognize it is your way, one of your many ways, of telling us creatures that you, the Creator, are in control. You are our Lord, our Master, and you control everything around us. But Lord, we confess to you that things seem to be out of control on so many different levels of reality. Things are out of control in realms of politics, attitudes toward our culture. Things are out of control with levels of trust. Trust that we have for people who lead us and guide us. Trust that we have in people speaking the truth. Lord, help us all. We confess that we've turned cynical and hard. There are some things that have happened that just simply don't affect us as they ought and as they should. Day by day, we recognize that in our news broadcasts, as well as newspapers and other media of communication, tragedies simply occur. This can grind us down, O Lord, and we confess to you that we have allowed that to happen. So we petition you, O Lord, send forth ways for us to look on brighter sides of everything, not looking away from negative things, but turning with good things to overcome evil with the presence of Jesus. Sometimes, O Lord, this is hard, because we do not know how to do that, and we're swallowed up in our gulf of feeling badly. So help us in our prayers. Help us in our Bible studies. Help us in our conversation with each other to continually encourage us to see your presence in spite of the bad things that happen. Because, Lord, at Easter, you overcame the world. You overcame suffering and death. And we thank you, O Lord, for letting us be your Easter people. So please let us respond as the risen Lord would respond. Help us respond in a triumphant way by saying, yes, but. Yes, things can be terrible, but God has the answer, and it is Jesus. Help us recognize that a lot of the issues, if not all of them, in this world could be taken care of if the love of Christ were there. So in the God-forsaken areas, the places where the love of Christ are ignored, let us make bold to proclaim that Jesus is the answer. His love for all of humanity, that is the answer to all of humanity's troubles. Lord, we pray for those who are sick, those who are lonely. We pray, O Lord, for ourselves and our secret sins. We lift them up to you in silence at this time. We confess them before you.
O Lord, take away these our sins, many of which we have no way to get out of it. So help us by sending forth your abiding grace to deal with the issues that have us caught. For it is indeed by grace, through faith, that all of us will be saved. Thank you for the grace of God through Jesus, that we can rely on that. Now bless us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Oh, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, sinners, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Amen. Every time we hear that music, we think of, oh, brother. Exactly. I knew you could fill it in. That was a tremendous movie for a number of reasons. That was the setting in which my dad grew up, so I wish he were around to tell me, is that right, Dad? Is that right, Dad? Is that right, Dad? But that was tremendous. Thank you. Let's let the children come down now. I have something I want to talk with you about. Well, good morning. How are you? And how are you? Come in the house. How are you? Good to see you. Well, boys and girls, this is a special day in the church year because today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Now, baptism is something that we all do here in the church when we profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there are lots of different symbols that we have. One is called a font, and there's usually some water in that font. And we take water from the font, and we put it on the heads of those being baptized. Sometimes they're teeny tiny infants. Sometimes they're big people called adults. But one way to baptize is by sprinkling. Now, baptism means a new creation. Because when that water hits your head, you're changed in the sight of God. Now, Jesus was baptized by John. John the Baptist, his cousin. And when Jesus came up out of the water, he heard something. The heavens were broken open, and he heard God's voice saying, "You are my beloved son. Listen to him. I'm very pleased with you." Now, this means that Jesus and God have a public relationship, that God's the Father and Jesus is the Son. That's what we have, boys and girls, when we are baptized. God is our Heavenly Father and Jesus is our brother in Christ. In Christ means in his love. So now I want to know, have you all been baptized? Nope, have not. Have you? Not that you know of. Okay. Well, at some point you will want to be when you profess your faith in Jesus. Because there are lots of different ways to live your life. Many of them. And all of them have something to offer or think they do. But Jesus is the way that overcomes everything and gives us heaven in the next world. So you think about how important it is to follow Jesus. And when you're ready, you will want to be baptized, which is your way of being installed officially in the family of God. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for baptizing and having baptism for all of us. Thank you for John and for Jesus who baptized, and for all of us clergy who have the privilege of baptizing too. Let us all remember our baptism, for it tells us we are new people, we follow Jesus, and now help us be faithful in following Jesus. Amen. And thank you for coming up. I inadvertently left out our hymn, which is at this point. So I'd like to announce that "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," number 420, is indeed our hymn as of this moment. So please let us stand. 420.
Oh,
Our scripture lessons from today, for today, are taken from two places in the New Testament. First of all, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, and then Luke's account of the baptism of our Lord from chapter 3. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon them, any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now to Luke's account. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Once again, let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the second Sunday after the Epiphany, in our church tradition, has the baptism of Jesus. From last Sunday to this Sunday, last Sunday being Epiphany Sunday, the visit of the wise men, and this Sunday, starting of our Lord's career, we have 30 some odd years of simply we don't know. We have no idea what Jesus was doing. So we have a whole gap there of not knowing what happens to Jesus. Now, you may look in all kinds of ancient writings, and some of those writings will describe what Jesus was doing. We get the idea that he was a carpenter along with his dad, Joseph. We also find in some of these scriptures that when Jesus misses the length of a piece of wood when he's sawing it, or when Joseph is sawing it, Jesus points to it and the wood grows to the proper length. Now that's rather spectacular, but that's one reason why it wasn't included in the Bible, because that is something that Jesus did for himself. The whole thrust of Jesus' ministry is for others. And besides, if Jesus, being that perfect little boy, which we affirm that he was, he should have cut that piece of wood straight in the first place. So this is the sort of thing that's out there, but we just don't know. We do know that all four Gospels have an account of Jesus being baptized. Baptism was an ancient custom by the Jews and by others. It was a rite of initiation. It was a way of saying you're different now that you have been baptized. We Methodists and other mainline Protestant organizations, denominations you might say, we have three methods of baptism. One is sprinkling. That's what we use actually most of the time. And the pastor takes the water and dips his hand into it and sprinkles it on the baby or the adult or the young person who is being baptized. The sprinkling symbolizes the sprinkling away or washing away of sin, of the original sin. Original sin is another sermon. We'll get to it one day. We have another one known as pouring, which a ladle-type device, much bigger than a gravy ladle, is filled with water, and you pour out water on the person, symbolizing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Usually when I have used pouring, and it's the option of the person being baptized, I would cup my hands like this, scoop the water, and then pour it like that. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A third way is, many of us are familiar with this one, immersion. It is a colloquially called dunking, but you get the idea. You go under the water and you come up out of the water. And that symbol is tremendously powerful. And when you go down, you're dying to your old self. When you're coming up out of the water, you are a new creature. You are washed away the sin of Adam and your other sins. And you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. I've done many baptisms like that, some of which were really quite very meaningful. And some were almost hilarious in how they came out, no less meaningful. I never will forget in my first church, we were having a baptism. Her name was Imogene. And in the Holston River, when it generates, one, it's very cold, and two, the current is very swift. And Imogene was a very large lady. And I knew that when large people go underwater, sometimes they can be swept away. And I wasn't as big as I am now. So we had a football player. And I says, now you need to be downstream in case she gets away. So I had my football player downstream. He was only too pleased to help out. Imogene knew exactly why he was there. But anyway, she went under the water and she came up out of the water and she says, whoo! I couldn't figure out exactly if it was the cold water of the Holston River or if she was happy in Jesus. But it didn't matter. She was shouting. And I didn't lose her. So my football player didn't have to catch her going downstream. But these are things you remember, and as long as she lives, Imogene will remember that occasion and how she shouted. The Spirit let her shout, the water temperature let her shout. It doesn't matter because all of our spirits were uplifted by the baptism event. So those are three ways of baptizing. Very likely Jesus, when it says he went down into the water, very likely he was immersed or it was poured. And we Protestants have wasted so much energy on the methods of baptism, it's shameful. If you want to say the Baptists have it right, fine. What I'm more interested in is not the method of baptism, but what happens to the heart. It doesn't matter the method. I do know that the little teeny tiny baby that I was called to baptize, the University of Tennessee Hospital, she was stillborn. And you say, you're baptizing a dead baby? Of course. That's what the family wanted. They knew she would be stillborn, but the important thing is their peace of mind. For them, they believed if she were baptized, even though she was dead, she would be in heaven. So I'll never forget taking that little tiny infant in the swaddled clothes and baptizing her. Should I have taken her to the river? I don't think so. That would be most inappropriate. So I'm very thankful that we Methodists have three methods. And if anybody wants to argue it, fine. But let's talk about the heart. And is it changed? Jesus went down to be baptized. Baptized with water. And the Spirit was very pleased. God spoke through the Holy Spirit. Now, there are lots of baptisms in the Bible. The baptism of water is only the first one. A second one is baptism by fire. Now, many of us have had baptisms by fire before. Fire is a purifying, a burning off, as happens with ore, burning gold. When it's mined, then it's fired, and the dross is burned off. When we have a baptism by fire, it purifies us. It causes us to lift out of our being, to separate from our various interests and of our soul, that which is eternal, that which will last. That is the baptism by fire. So it's purifying, but also there's another kind of fire which burns off like the chaff. Now, they had an interesting way of cultivating grain in our Lord's day. What would happen? The grain would be harvested like this. You know, Jesus and his disciples got into trouble one Lord's day when they plucked some grain on the Sabbath day and they started doing this to shift away the husk, and they blow it off and then they pop it right in their mouth like I eat peanuts, you know, right in the mouth. Or popcorn. Of course, when I do that, I miss usually and there's popcorn everywhere. But this talks about burning the chaff, which is destruction. There are elements about our being that need to be destroyed. So to purify something means to make it pure, burn it off, but the dross is also destroyed, not just made pure. And so baptism causes us to remember, whoa, and when we remember our baptism, we think, now what have I allowed God to burn off? What is it about my old self that's gone now because the Lord burned it off at my baptism? And then we have to ask the question, have I incorporated some of my old self into my present self so that I need to remember my baptism again? Be purified with fire, and then have the dross burned off. So that's the second baptism. But your third baptism is of critical, critical importance too. This is baptism by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter and John did when they went to Samaria. They knew they'd been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they hadn't had the Holy Spirit's baptism. Now, here is a baptism that can come and it can go. Oh, yes. Can come and it can go. The baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs when there is ecstasy. I had a Sunday school class just now. I was talking about ecstasy and moving from one level of reality to another. The Holy Spirit allows that to happen so that when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we're like Imogene who said, whoo! Now, we Methodists used to be known as shouting Methodists. Did you know that? We could get happy as we sang. Have any of you ever been to a Methodist church where somebody shouted? Have any of you ever been to a Pentecostal church where they did a lot of shouting? Did you realize that Pentecostals broke away from the Methodists because we didn't get happy enough? That's right. We have common histories. So if you want the old Methodist shouting, I'm afraid you have to leave our staid denomination where we do everything properly and quietly. And our enthusiasm, and by the way, that's an important word, enthusiasm is contagious, is it not? You find somebody that's enthusiastic about something, and all of a sudden a lot of people get to be enthusiastic. It's catching. That's a wonderful Greek word, too. Ecstasis, or ecstasy, comes from ex, or out of, and stasis means a solid place. Ecstasy means from one place to another. But when you are thinking in terms of moving your ecstasy into a transforming relationship, then you've got to think about what it's like to be enthusiastic. The Greek is entheos. Instead of ecstasis, entheos. Enthusiasm is out of the Greek meaning God inside you. So, if someone is enthusiastic about something, if it leads to good and proper things, then that is God being inside of them. And they are entheos, in God, enthusiastic. Now, this teaches us plenty about ourselves. How often are we enthusiastic about anything? You know? How often are we enthusiastic about anything? Think about what our energies are pointed to. Think about what we talk about the most. Sometime, get your day book or your calendar or your smartphone and just make a list of the things that you talk about during the day. Just type it in. And then at the end of the day, look and see how many things, what you talked about, whether they were enthusiastic things pointing to God or ecstatic things pointing away from anything about where we are, sometimes in a negative way. Or if you want to do it another way, listen to a news broadcast. How many times do we have positive things discussed? You know what I'm saying? This puts a damper on all of our culture. But it also gives us a chance, once again, to pull out our smartphone and start listing the topics about which we need to be praying. Think about it that way. This is a way to inform and to fill our prayer list. Because everything we see on or hear on a news program is something that very likely needs to be prayed for, whether it be a natural disaster or whether it be one candidate maligning another candidate. Think about those implications. Think about the demonizing of our president. Think about that. Is that enthusiasm to God? Or is it enthusiasm to tear somebody down? I'll never forget a picture that I saw this week. Somebody sent it to me. I get lots of pictures. This was a 90-year-old veteran who was greeted by Mr. Obama, and he was struggling to get up out of his chair. And the president said, "No, no, no, you don't have to get up. Just keep your seat." But he said, "Oh, yes. You're my commander-in-chief. I've got to stand for my superior officer." Wow. And you see, our culture is so filled with demonizing Now, I don't like the man either, politically speaking, because of some of the decisions he's made and others he hadn't made. But he's still the commander in chief. He's still the president. And we get enthusiastic about demonizing. But it's the wrong God inside of us. Because anything that tears another down, anything that's negative, by definition is not positive and does not build up. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring together all kinds of uplifting, positive things. And in a culture such as ours, we need all the positive examples we can find, examples of life, of joy, of simply living for Jesus. What we've seen in baptism and this sermon is the same thing for growth of the kingdom of heaven. You're initiated, call it baptism, or you go out for the team. You are trained because you're baptized into Christ Jesus. You've got to learn what Christ Jesus means. You also have to get in shape if you're on an athletic team. This means running laps. That's purification by fire. The fire of running until you get sick at your stomach sometimes. You've been there, done that? I have. That's purification. And then you're ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you actually get to play the game. Now, how many of you are going to watch the game tomorrow night? I am. Did some of you not know there was a game? Well, this is for the national championship, number one and number two, Alabama and Clemson. Here we have two teams that have been honed. They've been baptized or initiated into the athletic team of their university. They've been trained. They've had their baptism by fire. Work and work and work and work. Now they're blessed with the spirit of victory. And that's what they're looking for. They're trained. They're ready. They're going to go at it. And win or lose, they have attained the very best. So we'll watch these great athletes. If you don't want to, do it anyway, because you're going to see some of the very best examples of athletes, period. Now, here's where I quit preaching and gone to meddling. If we as a church wish to be honed, if we wish to be a viable church, even more than we already are, and there's so much going on in this church that is so positive, it's wonderful, then we need to remember our baptism. Remember that we are in Christ and that God is pleased with us. But we've got to put ourselves through fire, discipline. Sometimes we hold on to what happened back then. We won't let it go because too many people like to talk about what happened then. We nurse it. And since we can't let it go, there's no room for something new to come in. And as a result, we are stuck. There's nothing more frustrating than being stuck. We have our drive that's about like that. That's what I slipped on last February and broke my four ribs. Okay, you have a car down here, and you try to get up there when it's ice covered. Are you going to make it? No, you're stuck. You just keep going all the way back. You start again, you spin your tires. And that's how so many of us are in the church, and not just here, but the church everywhere. Our denomination continues to lose members. Why? We're stuck. We're stuck in the past. We're stuck, and we've never done it that way before. So what we must do is burn off that attitude. Let God purify the attitude. And then we can be open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. the enthusiasm, God coming and being happy that God is coming. I'll give you a case in point. How many of us really looked forward to coming to church today? How many of us just jumped out of bed to get here? Or did we drag out of bed and manage to make it under the greatest effort, you see? A lot of it is we're tired. Some of it is it's habit. More of it is I don't want to let the church down. And there are many of you who say that very thing. I don't want to let the church down. I had a dear soul at Church Street who couldn't hear it thunder. He was the former treasurer of the University of Tennessee. He came. He couldn't hear. He stood up to sing because everybody else was, but he didn't know the words. And one time I was visiting him and I said, "Brody, why do you even bother coming to church? You can't hear it thunder." He said, "That's right, Bill. I don't even know what you're talking about. But I come because I'm supporting my church and I need to be there. And people will look at me, Brody Baines, the treasurer of UT, retired. He's deceased now. He will look at me, or they will look at me, and they will say, 'There's Brody Baines. He can't hear it thunder, but he's in church because he loves his church. And the church is the gathered of the faithful. And they come together to support each other and to witness to God Almighty because of what he's done for us as individuals and for Rockwood United Methodist Church in particular.'" That's churchmanship. And we need more and more of churchmanship. Not just going to church when it's convenient or when I feel like it or when I'm not tired from watching UT play ball or something like that. Church is being here to support the body of Christ no matter what. And we need more churchmanship. And that's what it's going to take. Baptism, remembering the water, fire, purifying the old stuff and getting it out, and the Holy Spirit baptism to be enthusiastic for our church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us worship God now with our tithes and our offerings. As the ushers come forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, O God, for the opportunities you give us to live and to love and to share being with one another and with you. And thank you for money, for the earning thereof, as well as opportunities to give back money to you, your tithe and our offering. Use this money to further your work throughout the world. Amen. Our hymn is Spirit of Faith, Come Down. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer, or perhaps some that would like to renew their baptism vow. We would certainly want to honor you and to recognize you and to listen to your requests. We'll sing all four verses of 332, Spirit of Faith, Come Down. Certainly good to welcome the Hansards back with us from Florida today. It's good to have you, Trish, on the keyboard back there. I want you to know it's quite a sacrifice for them to come to Tennessee. They left 80-degree weather in Florida at Cape Canaveral, and they've come back to 35-degree weather. But it's all our smiling faces that they welcome us and warm their hearts again, right, you two? Say amen, both of you. That'll work. No, in all seriousness, Trish's mom has surgery this week. So let's keep Trish and the family, and especially her mom, in our prayers. Will you receive the blessing? In peace, in joy, in gladness, go forth, people of God. Enjoy your salvation, remember your commitment, and also act out the promises we made at our baptism. go and enjoy your salvation.